Welcome to this episode of the Superyacht Laundry podcast. I am very excited today because I've got a lovely lady back on the podcast. It's been a while. You were actually one of my first interviewees. So hello to Jane. How are you doing, my love? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, getting on.
So just to kind of, if listeners have not listened to your previous episode, my journey started kind of tied in with your journey. I started Yacht Pearls of Wisdom. Well, I got the idea of doing Yacht Pearls of Wisdom, but at the same time, unfortunately, your daughter was very poorly with cancer. And yeah, I feel like our lives have been entwined. For a very long time now, haven't
they? Yeah, definitely,
yeah. So, yeah, just to, if anybody's listening to this and haven't heard Dio, could you just tell us how a fabulous gem was and a little bit about what happened before we go on to what you're doing now?
Yeah, so Gemma was a yacht stew. She was a florist, so she was known as Floating Florista in the, well, it started off in the yachting industry, but it expanded into, obviously, when she ended up back on land again. And yeah, she was just a beautiful soul. Everyone loved her that she'd come across. She was, yeah, just very kind, loving, generous, thoughtful. She loved her job. She loved being in the yachting industry. I think she wishes she'd started doing it sooner.
Don't we all? We all do that. When we get on board, most of us are like...
Yeah, exactly. What I've been doing for the last 10 years. You know, certain things happen in life and you go down different paths and that's, you know, that's the path you take. And she ended up, yeah, in the yachting industry, following her brother out there, had been out there for quite a while, and yeah, she loved it and she just climbed the ladder really quickly. Yeah, the best thing she ever done, you know, with her life, that she, you know. And sadly, in 20, her second routine smear test, when she was 28, she was diagnosed completely out of the blue with cervical cancer. She'd had no symptoms, no illness. She was healthy. Everyone who knows Gemma or knew Gemma was, knows that she was, you know, always on the go, always doing something. She practiced yoga every day. I mean, she grew up being a dancer and a fitness freak, and that's what she'd done for years and years until she went out onto the yachts. And once she was on the yachts, obviously she couldn't dance, she couldn't do a lot of things that she was used to doing. So she practiced her yoga a lot more. She'd go hiking if she was off. She loved to walk. She was very fit and healthy, always was throughout her life. And this just came from out of the blue of nowhere. So it was obviously a huge shock. And what was diagnosed originally in February 2020 with early stages of cervical cancer, within 6 months had developed into stage 4 cancer. They said it was incurable but treatable. So then began the journey that she went through with, you know, many procedures and surgeries and treatments and, you know, the usual chemo and radiotherapy and everything. She'd done really well. She'd done really well for a year. You wouldn't even think, if you didn't know Gemma, you wouldn't even think she was going for anything if you saw her when she was having chemo, because she was so positive, so determined to beat it, and just looked really well considering what she was going through. And then she went into remission at the beginning of 2021, which was great. For 3 months, she was trying to get her life back together, planning on going back to work, being Gemma again, practicing her yoga again, doing her walks, her hair was growing, everything was going really well. And then she had her 3-month checkup, which they said she would be having every 3 months for the next 5 years. Once they said she was in remission, she'd have a scan and blood tests. And from that first scan for the first 3 months, they found 2 lesions on her liver that was consistent to the cancer that she had, which meant that it was back again. And then from there, it escalated and just spread over her liver. It went to, despite more procedures and treatments, went to her back.
She put up a really good fight, didn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, she did. She was so, I mean, for that first year, she was so, so positive and determined to beat it and get her life back. You know, I used to take her out, and even when she was in her wheelchair, I used to take her out and she'd say to me, I just want my life back. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to do this. And she was so positive. But when it came back and she started having the issues with her liver, after the first procedure she had to try and get rid of the lesions that was on her liver, she was never Gemma that she was in that 3 months again. She just felt so ill all the time. And I felt there was a lot more going on, but they just kept saying to me it was the after effects of this liver ablation that she'd had, and she will get over it, and just to monitor blood pressure and temperature and things like that, which was all fine, but she just wasn't right in herself. And then it turns out it was because it had got into her back, and she started having a lot more sort of like therapy and stuff, like physiotherapy and nutrition help and all sorts of things, different medications and more chemo, and it just become very aggressive very quickly. Yeah, and then we found out a couple of months later it was in her back, and then it ended up in her brain, and that's when they said they couldn't do anything else for her apart from the immune therapy that we'd originally talked about, which we originally didn't have the money for, which then, you know, amazingly the money was raised for. But at that particular time they said that she was too poorly to take the immunotherapy because you have to be at a certain fitness level for certain treatments, and for the clinical trials you have to be a certain fitness level. So they said that they, as much as they couldn't do anything for her right that minute, they'd exhausted everything on the NHS, they said that they will monitor her for the next 3 or 4 weeks and see how she goes, and then we'll talk about the immunotherapy again, because by then obviously we had the money. But unfortunately it just didn't happen because she just deteriorated really quickly. Yeah, and then we lost her in October 2021, which was 20 months from the original diagnosis.
And I literally, my first ever event was her funeral, when I had my first event, because it was really clear when I started Yacht Pearls of Wisdom, you know, it was just trying to spread information for women on board. And at that point, I'd only ever focused on like financial stuff and like trying to make. It had not really dawned on me until Jem's story that actual physical health is impacted by being on board. You know, there's stuff that women need to consider when they're going traveling, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone really, yeah, it probably crossed people's minds, but I think until, you know, when she was away, we didn't think about it. You know, it's just, when she came home, she had her leave in October 2019, which coincidentally coincided with her second smear test appointment. And, you know, she had that done, went back to work, you know, thought everything was fine. And then a couple of weeks later, the letter came through to say that it was abnormal and they wanted to see her again within the next 3 months. But then she was back in the States. So then she had a little bit of a panic about where she was going to have it done, because she didn't want to have it done over there. And I said, well, if you're that adamant you don't want to have it done there, which you're mad because you're in America and it's meant to be the best place in the world for medical things, then book your appointment, fly home the day before, have your appointment, fly back the next day if you can get the 3 days.
I think, you know, with women, it's quite an intimate, you know, thing. Do you know what I mean? I can see her perspective. She wanted to come and have it, you know, she didn't want to go to a strange doctor in a strange land type thing. And I can kind of get that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it totally. But I said, you know, if you can do that, then do that. But, you know what it's like in the yacht industry when you're at work, and the logistical side of it just wasn't working. It was, you know, the flights was ridiculously expensive. You know, the boat was moving about. It was just, she couldn't do it. So she had to have it done over there, which turned out to be okay in the end. You know, she was all right about it. She went to a nice place. I think it was in Palm Beach where she went. And yeah, but then obviously from there, she had to go again. And then again, and then she got referred to another, and it just went on and on until she was referred to a gynecologist in Miami. And that was in February. After doing more tests, they came back with the diagnosis.
Oh, I think one of the things with Jem's boat, Jem's boat was very supportive.
They
did let her. But a lot of boats, you know, when we first covered it, when I did an event in the south of France, like a girl came up after hearing your story and Jem's story. She was like, my captain said that it's not necessary, you know, she said she was due to get a smear and she needed to get it done. He was like, well, it's optional, isn't it?
I remember you telling me about.
It's optional. Like, no, it's not, unfortunately. Because if it was optional, none of us would get it done.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we all know that we have to get it done.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, obviously that was a few years ago now, but it's still, you know, women need to understand that it doesn't matter. You have to get it done. And either the boat's with you or not. And I would just kick up a massive stink about it, because that's what boat expenses are for. That's what insurance is for. If you had a tooth fell out, you know, or an abscess, the boat would pay for that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So it just blew my mind. But yeah. What the work that you've done, so obviously after Jem passed, what did you have it in your mind to do next?
So we had the idea of setting up the Floating Florista Foundation in memory of Gemma, and to basically spread awareness of the importance of cervical screening, which in the UK was originally called smear test. It's now called cervical screening. And how important it is to keep having your routine tests, because in Gemma's case, like, she had no symptoms, you know, and there's all these platforms and charities and all these people out there that talk about symptoms all the time, you know, look out for this, look out for that, which we all read about, we all see, we all know what they are. But what if there's no symptoms, like in Gemma's case? You know, it's my, when I do, I go out and do these talks, well, I mean, I've done a few talks now, I'd like to go out and do more, but, you know, I'm hoping to sort of, you know, get some more funding to be able to go out and do more of these talks to spread the awareness and talk about how important they are. And the fact that, you know, nowadays, well, probably for I don't know, quite a while now, girls and boys, they're having sex at a lot younger ages, you know. So take, for instance, if a young lady was having sex at 15 and she's not having her cervical screening until she's 25, which is another story about when they start and how long, how often they're done, but she's not having her first cervical screen until she's 25. That's 10 years of intimate relationships, you know, with things that could be going on inside that she doesn't know about because there's no symptoms. If there is symptoms, fine, you know, she'd go to the doctor and say, you know, I've got this symptom or whatever. But when there's no symptoms, as in Gemma's case, by the time she's 25, that's 10 years. Now, in that 10 years, so much could have happened. And, you know, I've met a lot of bereaved mothers over the last 5 years, which is really sad. But that's, you know, where I am in my life now. And one of the women that I met, her daughter had bowel cancer. For 4 years, they was, you know, fluffing her off with different excuses, and it's this and it's that and it's that. And when they finally actually diagnosed her, it was too late. It was stage four. It was, you know, so I go out and I want to go out more and do these talks, and I tell Gemma's story, you know. As I'm talking, you can see photos of Gemma, you know, looking all lovely at work and out of work and here, there and everywhere. But in amongst it, I've also put photos of Gemma when she was poorly and when she was very sick, to make a point to women that you can go from this to this within a matter of months, you know, if you don't know what's going on. And, you know, even when she was diagnosed and she was having treatments, I mean, we had so many conversations, and I'd say to her, was there anything that you can look back on that you can think, that doesn't feel right, or, well, that's a bit uncomfortable? And she said there was nothing. I mean, she never really, I think she used to get period bellyache and, you know, the usual stuff, but she said there was never anything that she was, yeah, that was, you know, not right to actually do something about it. So that's how it can be. And I just want to keep going out and talking as much as I can about keeping up with your cervical screening, when, especially when you're working away from home. I mean, obviously on the yachts now, you know, the rotations are very common. So it's 3-on-1-off or 2-on-2-off, whatever, you know, whatever rotation you're on. But I know on cruise ships, I've spoken to girls on cruise ships that their contracts are like 6 to 8 months long. So that's even worse. They don't get home, you know, for 6 to 8 months at a time. And one of the cruise ships, I left some packs that I give to you when you put on your goodie bags. And they were so appreciative of it. And they've spread the word around, and they, you know, they've said to me, you need to get out and get on more, get it on all the ships, get it out there so that women take notice, as well as the yachts. And just to remind women that, you know, when you do get time off, schedule that appointment in if it's due, or even if it's not due and it's playing on your mind, or there's something, you know, for the sake of, I think it's about £130 a year to have £130 a time to have a private cervical screening, rather than, as we have to wait in the UK, 3 to 5 years, which is more 5 years now than anything if you haven't got the
5 years. It's 5 years. I mean, I've had abnormal smears come back and everything else. Like, I'm in the 5-year pattern now for me to get screened. It's just not, you know, it's one of those, it is a thing, you know, no woman like, it's not a pleasurable experience. I was talking about something the other day and they used the word scrape. I'm just like, ugh. Just that word, scrape. And I'm like, why do I have such an aversive reaction to the word scrape? And I know why, because that's, you know, that's what they do to us.
Well, yeah.
Like, I can't remember what it was, but there's something that's like, oh, scrape. And I was like,
that was the word that everyone's
you know,
like,
obviously, you know, obviously I've had kids had a child now, so it's just like you become slightly more immune because you've had like a whole team of medical pressures up your vagina at one time. So you become a bit numb to it. But obviously when you're younger, it's just not very nice. And, you know, going back to how Jen was, she, you know, she wanted to come back to a UK doctor to feel more comfortable and everything like that. I mean, it's, we all understand why it's, you know, why you don't want to, but you just got to, you know, it's just, it's a very small part of your health and well-being as a whole.
Well,
and I think with the stress with working on board, you know, obviously you're saying that you didn't notice anything abnormal. The amount of women on board that have irregular periods, there are all sorts of things going on. Because of the stress and hormone levels, and they might be dieting at the same time. We've covered a lot of these things previously, which the boat insurance, you know, medical cover covers these things. You know, when I've spoken to Medair, you know, most common thing is, you know, UTI.
Yeah.
And not taking your contraceptive out there and just not planning ahead for your own, you know, health. But I think, you know, it has got a lot better. I mean, we've not covered, obviously, this topic specifically for a while. Obviously, the last time I did, I got a girl come up and basically, a captain basically said, oh, it's just optional, isn't it? You don't need to get it. First of all, that's not your decision, whether it's optional or not.
Yeah.
But no, it's not.
Well, that's why I want to meet, like, even when I do, like, when I do the talks, like, I want men to be there. Like, you know, obviously, I've done that talk at the Super Yacht Charities Ball, which was, you know, there's 500 people there, and there was a lot of men there. I'm sure there was some captains and chief officers and whatever that have all got sisters, daughters, wives, girlfriends, females in their lives, and went away thinking something different to what they, you know, that they hadn't thought about before after they listened to Gemma's story. And I've been on to a couple of yachts and done some talks to some interior teams, and, you know, I said the guys are welcome to listen in and stand in as well, so they understand it as well, especially the captains and the chief officers. They need to understand how important it is. It's the same as the guys. Like, you know, the guys need to check themselves as well, and if they find a lump, they're going to need to go and get it checked out. So is a captain going to say to a guy on board, you know, the chief officer or whoever, or is it necessary?
Yeah.
Because he should, you know, it's the same thing. It swings both ways. It's the same for men as it is for women. And it's not just your smear test. You know, women have to check their boobs as well regularly because, you know, I've got a very dear friend now who lost her daughter a year before me. She was diagnosed with breast cancer when she was 21. She lost her when she was 25. People say it about Gemma as well, but, you know, she's too young. She's fit and healthy. She's this and that. And I said, it doesn't matter how old or young or fat or thin or tall or short or what colour you are. If it's going to get you, it's going to get you. Doesn't matter. You know, it's body. Everybody needs to be aware of this. And, you know, the Gynaes Around the World list was compiled by yourself and Gemma Holbert. And it's available on the Yacht Stew website to look up. So there's reputable English-speaking gynaecologists that have been recommended that are on this list all around the world. It's also in the Super Yacht Services Guide. So if anyone is worried about where they are and, oh my God, I'm in the Caribbean, I don't want to go to a grotty, there will be, I had actually a young lady dancer on one of the cruise ships that I'd been on a while ago. She messaged me a couple of weeks ago and said, can you help? One of the girls needs to see a gynecologist she's in America. And they was having problems trying to get onto the link that she had from me. But I think they must have been getting a bit confused with it, because when I went onto it, it was fine. And I just ended up screenshotting the whole thing rather than sending them the link. And they looked through it, and she, you know, she was really grateful that I sort of sent it all to her and she could get to see someone. So, you know, anywhere you are in the world, you can see a gynecologist.
After obviously trying to do the Floating Florista Foundation and everything else, what's it like trying to stay motivated and achieve something? You know, it's been a long time now.
It's not easy. I mean, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's not easy. It's, you know, I've been suffering with my mental and physical health a lot. I'm trying to work on myself to get through without so much happening all the time, so much noise going on all the time. But there is, you know, that there is a lot going on in my head all the time, 24/7. So I find myself, I'm on an emotional roller coaster, which I know I'm going to be on for the rest of my life. And some days, some weeks, I sort of feel okay. And I think, right, okay, I get all motivated. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then something really you know, simple might come into my head or something might remind me of something or something. And then it just completely throws me again. And then I could be for days just not wanting to do anything again. So it is hard. And as much as I want to get out there and I want to do these talks, and, you know, sometimes I can talk, I'm absolutely fine. Some days I can't talk without, you know, without breaking down, you know. So the days that I do feel okay is when I try and get as much done as I can. And then if I don't do anything for days or weeks, you know, then that's fine. I'll go back to it. But the reason, obviously, we're talking again now is because in June, it's called Screening Awareness Week. It's the 15th to the 21st of June. So I thought it would be a good time to, obviously, you know, pop up again and remind everyone about their cervical screening and how important it is to make the appointment, keep the routine checkups going. If you haven't made it,
we need to get everybody's attention. What can we do? We can perhaps say something like, get the scrape. Maybe I should have a strap.
Oh, no. You can't use the word scrape. That would definitely put everyone off.
Scrape. Go for it.
You know, I never thought the statistics show that 1 in 3 women have not been for their cervical screening tests. So in the UK, that is like probably, I think I read it's around like 5 million women that haven't attended or are overdue. I mean, that figure needs to come down drastically. You know, they say that, you know, this HPV is helping with cervical cancer and stuff, but I don't know if, you know, young girls and women are going to have unprotected sex and the HPV is there. And, you know, the HPV is the cause of the most common cervical cancer, which grows from the inside of the cervix out. But Gemma had the rare form of cervical cancer, which grew on the outside of her cervix, which they explained to us in America that a nun who doesn't have sex could get this. So, you know, there's different, you know, HPV, there's all different variations of HPV, and the higher the levels are in your blood tests and the tests that they do, it's, you know, it's more likely that you could develop cervical cancer. And so many people have HPV. If you have got HPV and you're told you've got HPV, don't panic. It's not like you haven't got, like, you know, AIDS or syphilis or anything like that. It's a virus that lives inside probably 99% of all of us. You know, we've all had it at some time. I know I've had it, but it's not treatable. They don't give you anything for it. You don't even know it's there. It just lives in your body for a couple of years and then it'll pass. Sometimes it doesn't. I do know someone that had it for quite a number of years, which was quite concerning, but she eventually went in the end. But yeah, so it's not, if, you know, if your tests come back and it says, oh, you've got HPV, don't panic, because it doesn't mean, you know.
It's a tricky one. Like I said, you know, perhaps my strap line, get the scrape, is probably not the best. It's crap, you know. It's a stupid, it's a horrible thing that you have to go and do, but you just have to do it. You've just got to suck it up. These are the joys of being women, you know. It's just one of those other added little bonuses that we have to experience.
I want the guys to encourage their, you know, speak to them about it. Don't be, you know, don't be, like it's a taboo subject. Like, you know, if you're in a relationship or you've got a sister or, you know, a female in your life that you care about, you know, talk about it. Don't be scared. Just say, you know, have you had a cervical screening recently? You know, if you've got one booked, you know, just talk about it. It's, and especially on bald, you know, because, and especially if you're new on bald, that's the worst thing, like frightened to ask anyone to be able to do anything. But if you have got an issue and a problem that you're worried about, then speak to your superior and speak to someone who you feel comfortable speaking to, and, you know, start the ball rolling to be able to get off. I know a few girls that, obviously, where it's been talked about for a few years now. I think one of the girls out in Antibes said to me that her doctor would be quite happy to go on board and, like, do, like, a massive, like, screaming amongst, like, the interior crew if that's what they needed, which I thought was quite a good idea if it was all kind of, you know, the right time for everyone. But I don't really know how it would actually,
I don't know about whether that would be on my, you know, even if we go for a bottle of, you know, Whispering Angel afterwards, it might, you know, it's not probably high on my list. But I get what you're saying. The thing is, I do think, you know, the mentality on board is changing, you know, like, because a lot more information, there's some great, fabulous women that specialise in hormones and stuff. Because obviously fertility is another thing, you know, you should at least get it done. Because if you want kids in the end, you need all of that kind of working and hormone levels and just getting your screening done. It's just all part of that process of staying healthy down there. So yeah, we need to make sure. I don't know. I think maybe get the scrape might be. Oh, this is like something sadistic about us.
we have the hashtag, the do it for Gem hashtag, which is quite good. You know,
that's,
I was
nicer doing, than get the scrape.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, the first couple of years, first few years, I was getting a lot of messages, you know, through social media, different platforms and stuff. And, you know, girls that I didn't know, they was messaging me saying, oh, I just wanted to let you know that I've booked my appointment or I've had my smear test, and then let me know if it's fine. And they'd hashtag and they'd put pictures up and put hashtag do it for Gem, which I thought was really lovely. And I really would like that to continue because I think it kind of works quite well. But yeah, it's just, but going back to that Super Yacht charity event, I mean, I met so many women after. It was quite funny because I ended up in the toilet and I couldn't get out of the toilet. That it just ended up in, you know, this big mass group talk in the toilet. And every time I went to go, someone else came in and joined in the conversation and talked about the talk and Gemma and blah, blah, blah.
Women thing to do.
It was quite funny. But I remember one woman coming in and she was, I think she said she was about 38 years old and she'd never had a smear test done. And we was all like, my God, what do you mean you've never had a smear test done? We all kind of jumped on her. I think she was a bit like a rabbit in headlights. And she went, well, I never got a letter. I was waiting for a letter. And I said, you don't wait for a letter. You have to go and have. Right. And I said to her, please make an appointment and please have a test done and message me and let me know. And I've never, ever heard from her. And I often think about her and think, did she ever get it done? Is she all right? But so many women were saying the same sort of things. You know, they've been on yachts, they haven't had time or they've forgotten. And now, because of obviously the exposure of Gemma's story and, you know, seeing things on social media about it and everything, it has jogged a lot of them and it has sort of like pushed them all to do it. I don't get so many messages now, but for the first few years it was very, you know, I was getting quite a lot.
Well, we'll hope that we can raise awareness again. You know, it's not something that's gone away, but I do hold out hope that the industry has got a lot better and a lot more understanding, because there have been quite a few cases of our male counterparts, you know, suffering. So crew members in general, different stuff affects both of us. So yeah, it needs to be dealt with. There's no stigma about it. It's just part of what life on board.
I see things, you know, I'm on groups and Instagram and stuff. And obviously, you know, Gemma's brother Charlie's still out in the industry. You know, he's been out there for 14 years. And so I'm still I still like to see what's going on. And I see, there was probably a lot going on before, but since we lost Gemma, I feel like, you know, all the mental health thing has become very, you know, very big in the industry, you know, everything, you know, what happened to poor Paige Bell. And, you know, I feel like there is a lot more going on now with health and safety, and it's great. I mean, I read things all the time. I'm on different groups and stuff that, you know, I've just always followed things and I read things, don't always interact with it, but I keep up with what's going on out there. And it's great that everyone is, you know, doing these things and trying to change, and, you know, the thoughts of everyone out there, especially the captains that, you know, can be, well, you know, yeah, that's not important. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, it is. But, you know, I've just done another article for Woman's Own magazine, which is coming out, I think, on the 9th of June, which is coinciding with the cervical, I've done it for the cervical screening awareness week. So, you know, that'll be out there. So if, you know, not probably our age, don't really read Woman's Own, but, you know, it is out there. It's going to be out there. It'll be online. So, you know, people can read for it again. You know, you can go to the website and read about Gemma's story. You know, Charisse always puts my packs into her goodie bags at the yacht shows and events and things. So look out for those, because they've got the QR codes to take you to the Guineas Around the World lists, and just a bit of information and a reminder, really. And if you do end up with one of these packs, or you do end up with Floating Florisa or Do It For Gem leaflets anywhere around, then put them up on your board where the girls can see them, or when the guys can see them, just to, you know, take notice and encourage each other.
We will definitely spread the word, obviously, at the beginning of June, but I am doing the crew welfare bags this Monaco. So if you're a crew member and you end up in Monaco, you want to get your hands on one of the bags, we'll have the details in that as well. Thank you so much for coming on again, Jane. I really appreciate it.
Lovely catching up with you.
And yes, again, a fabulous message that needs to be repeated over and over again.
Yeah, I think we'll stick with hashtag do it for Gem now until we Charisse thinks of something a little bit better than getting the scrape.
No, it's definitely something we need to keep repeating, but thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, make sure you look after yourselves and keep up with your screening and appointments, and, you know, just look up the Guineas Around the World if you're somewhere where you're not sure about, and there will be a recommended gynecologist on there.
Perfect. Yeah. So, yeah, Super Yacht Services Guide, Waiting for Us to Foundation. We've got it on ours. There's tons of information, but there's no excuse and there's no reason. If your captain's saying no, leave the boat because he's obviously a dickhead.
Yeah.
So you're probably better off trying to find a better job. So if you've enjoyed this episode, listeners, we've got more to come. But thank you very much, Jane. Until next time.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye. If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.